you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, November 12th, 2018. And I don't know, I think through our prayer time and our early morning discussions, I think, everyone, you can sit content today. We have solved all the world's problems, whether it's drugs or gambling or voting or partisan politics. I think we covered just about most every topic known to man. We tried, and then we thought, you know, we're hopeless. Lord, only you can resolve all these differences and these different prejudices and politics and all these different things. And we prayed it all up. So I don't know if we solved anything, but I think we feel a little better after praying and giving it to the Lord.
Definitely.
But we live in crazy times, and, you know, with the post-election and things still not resolved in many areas, and then that surprise snow we had the past weekend and all the different things going on, it's like,
why is it that snow is always a surprise?
Yeah. Well, Esther, on the way, I was taking her to school on Friday, and she says, is this the first snow?
No.
And I said, well, you got to define that, because there's snow in different parts of the world. There's snow, you know, here. And then she said, well, the first snow here. And I said, well, what do you mean here?
Oh, my goodness, Mark, just answer the question.
Because she said, well, okay, the first time this year. And I'm going, no, because in January of 2018, it snowed, and in February, so earlier this year, just because it's November, it's the first snow that we're observing this winter.
Did she feel straightened out with that sun?
I was telling her, I was trying to train her in being precise in what she's wanting to ask, because there would be a lot of ways of answering
that. Well, that's a good point.
Well, you know, dear Judy Frazier, when she was the weather guru on the Channel 3 weather, she always said that the snow does not count unless you can track a cat.
Hmm? Oh, geez.
You can what?
Track.
You mean
a cat.
Seeing like the paw prints in the snow?
If there's enough snow that you can track a cat.
Oh, my. It doesn't take too much snow to get that little paw print. That's interesting.
Well, it has to stay on the ground. And now, out at our house, it snowed last week, but it disappeared as soon as it hit the ground.
Yeah,
it melted.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, on some of the trees, we had snow on Friday, but
I woke up and thought, I didn't bring the hummingbird feeders in.
Hey, make sure you have your hoses disconnected from the spigots on the side of your house, because if you leave that connected throughout the wintertime and it can freeze up, and then come springtime when you start the faucets, many times it can backflow into the house because it's damaged or been broken. And that happened to me once before where there was water coming out of the wall, and I'm like, what's going on? And somebody had turned the spigot on outside, and it had frozen up during the winter time. What happens when you leave the hose on, there's some pressure still built in there, and there's still some water that somehow set in there, and then it freezes, and then it busts the pipe. And so
that's a good tip.
Make sure that's done. Hey, yesterday being Veterans Day, I wanted to start off today's program before we did a special reading. That's why we have Kathleen Jennings, one of our content contributors for our beloved Prime Life Times, in to read a story. And so let me begin with the Singing Men's rendition of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. This was recorded at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Dr. Barrington Coleman was our director at the time, and this was shortly after 9/11. And so you'll hear the crowd at the end cheering, and it was really a special time for our nation.
Well,
I don't know if it was a special time. It was a
hard time. It was
a tragic time. And so this is as recorded at the Krannert Center back in 2001.
Remember, we were in Israel.
Yeah.
I like the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
My eyes have seen. Thank you.
That was the Battle Hymn of the Republic, as recorded at the Panic Center for the Performing Arts with the Singing Men of GNN. And also the Varsity Men's Glee Club joined us in that arrangement. Dr. Barrington Coleman served as their director and our director at the time. That was back in 2001, shortly, I think within 2 weeks of 9/11. And so just a great arrangement. I love the message in that song. And then, again, for us to honor our veterans that have served and fought and protected our freedoms. And we have Kathleen Jennings here in the studio to share a special remembrance with yesterday being Veterans Day. We do want to continue to honor our veterans and those that have served and those that have lost loved ones. But, Kathleen, you wrote this special story in light of Veterans Day being on the horizon.
Yes.
And it's in this month's edition, the November edition of the Prime Life Times.
And one of the things that has happened to me as I've been doing the research, particularly in World War I and the trenches, I've been so thankful that I have not ever had to be in a trench in the middle of winter, because we were talking about snow.
Yeah.
And yes, it can be beautiful, but if you're in a muddy, wet trench and have a lot of snow, it must have been horrific.
You know, I bet there's people listening that experience that very thing,
Kathleen. I'm sure. And I have never had to do that. So
they did it for you.
Yes, they did. They did it for me and for you.
I know that.
Yes. Remembrance. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses, row and row, that mark our place. And in the sky the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. That's a poem by John McCrae, a physician who fought in World War I and died there.
In Flanders fields.
Yes. I walked slowly as I crossed over the wide glass bridge. The sight below took my breath away. Row upon row of red poppies looked up at me and whispered, "Remember, remember, remember." This was my entry into the National World War I Museum and Memorial in Kansas City, Missouri. My initiation into the sights, sounds, and smells of the Great War. The war to end all wars. As I walked through the museum, the displays took me back to those scenes of World War I, well before my time, but with a legacy that would influence all generations of Americans. 9,000 poppies cover the symbolic field below the bridge, each representing 1,000 dead. 9 million deaths are directly attributed to the war, which began on June 28, 1914, when Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia after the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand and his wife, Duchess Sophie, by a Serbian activist. During the years that followed, the Battle of the Somme, Verdun, Gallipoli, Battle of Belle Wood, and the Battle of the Marne became all too familiar to Americans who joined the war in 1917. The United States mobilized 4 million soldiers, of whom 116,708 military personnel and 757 civilians died from war-related causes, influenza, combat, and wounds. Over 204,000 suffered from wounds that were often life-altering. Trench warfare massively affected soldiers, causing large numbers of casualties and health problems on the battlefield and after returning home. In September of 1918, the Americans forged a victory in the Meuse-Argonne Defensive, the deadliest battle of the war for our troops. 26,000 U.S. were killed. But it helped bring about the November 1918 armistice. The museum unfolded the story of how, in the months just after the armistice, American Moina Michael began her search for a way not only to honor the memory of those who died in the war, but to aid those who returned home with physical, mental, and spiritual needs. Inspired by Canadian physician Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae's poem in Flanders Fields, she campaigned for official recognition of the red field poppy as a memorial symbol. In late September 1920, the American Legion Convention agreed to the use of the Flanders Fields Memorial Poppy as the official national symbol of remembrance. Those honored in the museum included Alvin C. York, a young Christian man from the hills of Tennessee, drafted in 1917. At first, York sought conscientious objector status, but after a change of heart, he used his shooting skills and hunting strategies learned as a boy to capture 132 prisoners and 35 machine guns. Awarded the Distinguished Service Cross, later upgraded to the Medal of Honor, York received a promotion to sergeant and was also awarded the French Croix de Guerre and the Legion of Honor, as well as the Italian Croce al Merito di Guerra. In 1941, the movie Sergeant York, starring Gary Cooper, became a box office hit. The museum also gave tribute to two British soldiers, J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, who would go on to literary prominence. The Bloody Battle of the Somme became Tolkien's initiation into warrior's life. Sent home in October 1916 with pyrexia, which was drench fever, Tolkien spent his recovery time writing poetry and detailing chilling descriptions of a place that we now know as Middle Earth. Lewis, a volunteer from Northern Ireland, found himself in the trenches near Belgium, facing mortar battles, gas, artillery fire, and freezing weather. Wounded by friendly fire, he was evacuated to England. Most of his army buddies died. As a result of his wartime experiences, Tolkien's Catholic faith deepened. Tolkien went on to write the famous Lord of the Rings and other novels. Initially, Lewis's atheism seemed to strengthen, but his later conversion to Christianity was directly tied to the war. He went on to write the beloved Chronicles of Narnia and numerous other literary works. The ambience of the museum took me back to my days in elementary school and to my classmates, as each Armistice Day, we repeated in unison, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918. The school bell sounded, and we stood by our desks for 1 minute of silence at precisely 11 a.m. Though we couldn't really grasp the scope of the sacrifices made, we learned to solemnly acknowledge the end of a devastating war. As the years passed, many of my classmates would be called upon to make just such sacrifices in later wars. I left the museum, but continued my trip down memory lane. Then, in my mind's eye, I saw myself, a young girl, standing on the street corner in a small Iowa town on the day we now call Veterans Day, holding a bouquet of poppies, and, with my father's prompting, asking, how many poppies would you like today?
I love that.
Wow, a wonderful article, sobering article.
Yes, it
with
is.
So many different facts and information. In the beginning, did you choose the words in that, I guess, the first or second sentence, remember, 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 thinking of Churchill, you know, never, never, never give up?
Oh, never.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I was thinking, because you repeated it three times, and it just stood out to me.
Well, sometimes it's hard for me to remember exactly why I choose something to write. I've read a lot about Churchill. I've read a lot of his writings. But it just seems that when you repeat something, and somehow three times is a good number.
Yeah.
I think that's used a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the scriptures, mm-hmm. oftentimes when Jesus, verily, verily, I mean, it's like a very important thing, or holy, 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 the three mm-hmm. times mm-hmm. is
right.
very significant biblically.
Anytime you repeat something. Of course, when I was in high school, which is really the only writing classes I've taken.
That's all right. You're doing fantastic.
When I was in high school, we were taught in our writing as well as in speech class, in the introduction, you tell them what you're going to tell them. Mm. In the middle, you tell them. And in the end, you tell them what you told them.
Remember.
Right. And so, I mean, it's like
that's
that.
That's great.
But that's kind of, I remember that, to do that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it doesn't always work. But you can use different words. You don't have to repeat necessarily the same
sure.
word.
Right, right. Well, thank you for a great article.
But, yeah.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. It was not really me. I really felt a spiritual pull to do this.
Mm.
And I know I had a great uncle that was a Marine during World War I, but not really a strong family connection per se. Mm. But it was a very, very important time.
Yeah.
Well, it was quite a pivotal time in all of history since then.
That's right.
Yes, it was.
And
that's
I've
right.
heard many veterans say it was the war to end all wars.
Well,
I mean, and my father had always said that about World War II, but it was also said about World War I, this was the war to end all wars.
Yes.
Or that was the hope or the desire uh-huh. that this would never happen again.
That was their desire. But as I look at history, and there are historians that put forth this theory, World War I and World War II were the same war.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Because World War II had its origins in the way World War I ended.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was almost like 30 years of war.
The scene was set.
That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. It really was.
Well, in case you've just tuned in, that was Kathleen Jennings, and her tagline after this article, which is on the front page of this November's edition of the Prime Life Times, available at over 200 area locations.
All the red poppies on the front page.
Yeah, it's a really captivating front page.
I thought it turned out well.
Very enticing for you to pick it up and to read it, and it's a great article by Kathleen Jennings, who currently lives in Mahomet with her beloved husband, John, who's the chairman of our radio board. That's an aside. But Kathleen is a watercolor artist who loves history and researching personal stories of wars Americans have fought. You can contact her at Kathleen@WatchmanOnTheWall.com. That's Kathleen@WatchmanOnTheWall.com. And you can pick up the November edition of the Prime Life Times. While they're still available, like I mentioned, in over 200 area locations, you can find out where to pick them up online at PrimeLifeTimes.com, PrimeLifeTimes.com.
How do you say the caption on this picture with the article, Kathleen?
Where?
The U.S. Marines during the
Meuse-Argonne
campaign. Okay.
Meuse-Argonne. I'm pretty sure that's what I've heard.
You're very good at all that, all those
words. Yeah, I was thinking only Rob could have pulled that off. All right.
She knows them.
Well, Rob might disagree with me. I don't know.
No, you say all those words well.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Kathleen, for joining us. Thank you, Marianne, for co-hosting the Monday and Tuesday's editions of Mark and Friends. And we thank you for tuning in and being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Thank you to the veterans.
Yes.